It is now my pleasure to introduce my husband, our Vice President, Joe Biden.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Please. Thank you. Please excuse my back. I apologize for my back being to you. And my name is Joe Biden. I am Jill Biden's husband. You all had the immediate same instinctive reaction when she said, "It's a pleasure working with the president and the vice president." Can you imagine her working for me? I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard fellas that ever uttered, I say to my colleagues from the Senate and the governorship. But that's why this is worth the trip. I'm here just sandwiched between a great president and a great second lady whose passion for the community colleges is intense, as you could probably see. This is known as Jill's territory. No, I mean that sincerely. Within the White House, this is sort of Jill's territory. She and Arne Duncan have been, our Secretary of Education, have been just absolutely relentless, and they're making the case that the single best kept secret in America is the community college system. And our administration is committed to letting that secret out. So, Governor, thank you for your hospitality. It was not only great being here, but getting to ride with you from the airport in. What a beautiful part of the world you all live in. What a beautiful part of the world you all live in. And to my friend Lamar Alexander, who is, as an old saying goes, in my old neighborhood back east, who's forgotten more about education than most people are going to learn. Bob Corker, who's a great friend. We served together in the Foreign Relations Committee. Now he is the chairman of that powerful committee. And Pellissippi State Community College President Anthony Wise. It's a delight to have you here. You know, I imagine some of the students behind me and all the professors behind me and those who are students out in the audience here, you all know the names of people that Jill was talking about. That 19-year-old kid, although qualified, doesn't have the money to go to a four-year college, but knows that the cheapest way to get there is through transferring credits from a solid community college. Or that 35-year-old woman who's been a victim of abuse in her family has broken away and decided that she's moving forward to take care of she and her children and has the courage to go back. That 40-year-old man who has lost his job and has never really was that good in school but musters up the courage to decide to go back to school, to go to community college. That guy who says, "Okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do it for my family." That's a hard thing. That's a hard, hard, hard thing for people to do. But the stock of students who make up our community colleges is the stuff America is made of. And I really mean that. Think about the students, particularly those who've been away a long time. Imagine all of you with good educations if you were going to go back to school now after having been out of a classroom for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. It's intimidating. It takes real courage. It takes real commitment. And it's a plain fact that community colleges are one of the most direct avenues today to the middle class. And we need you. We need the colleges, and we need the stuff of which they are made up. You know, when the President and I were first sworn in back in 2009, we stated then what we said when we joined as a team to run for president and vice president, that our first goal was to pull America out of the greatest recession in our history, short of a depression, and in the process, reestablish the footing of the middle class in America. Because that footing was already being lost before the Great Recession. Because the middle class is the vehicle that built this great country. It's been built on the shoulders of hardworking middle-class people. And so the fact of the matter is, everything we have done And we have made mistakes, but on balance, I'm very proud of the record. Everything we have done has been designed to give the middle class a better footing. But we had to rebuild the foundations of the economy first. Democrats and Republicans and, quite frankly, the American people having the grit to do it. And America is coming back and coming back strong. I might know parenthetically, you no longer hear significant business people or anyone talking about how the rest of the world, the Asia and China, are going to outcompete us, how the European Union is going to eat our lunch. The truth of the matter is, America's positioned to, in fact, play the same role in the 21st century we did in the 20th century. And if we do what we should, there's no reason why this will not be an American century. The magic of the phenomenal growth of the United States beginning in the early 20th century was the consequence of a fundamental decision made in the state of New York in the late 1800s, when it was decided that in America, every American be entitled to 12 years of education, the first nation in the world to do that, the first nation. Not everyone's guaranteed to graduate, but everyone is entitled to have access, free access to an education. And the rest of the world was way behind. But it took a long time to catch up, but they have caught up. And now we know what you all know. 12 years is not enough. 12 years is not enough. Any more than 8 years was enough in 1919. It doesn't mean that everyone needs a four-year college degree or a graduate degree. There are many other avenues. But 6 out of 10 jobs by the end of this decade will require training beyond a high school degree. It can be an apprenticeship, it can be a certificate, it can be a two-year degree, a four-year degree, a graduate degree. So the world has changed. Competition has changed. But the United States and the American people have built into their DNA a confidence that is showing now and showing through as it always has. But we have to make sure that every person in America gets an education to the extent that they desire and to the extent to which they are capable. That's why the President asked me in the State of the Union a year ago, almost to the day, to come up with a roadmap to determine how do we maintain and guarantee we have the most skilled workforce in the world. It's within our capacity, but is also absolutely necessary if we're going to capitalize on the overwhelming potential that still exists here in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, the facts are there, and the opportunities are there as well. We're going to need, for example, it showed after a 7-month study with the whole of the government looking at it, we're going to need 1.3 million IT jobs by the end of this decade, average salary $50,000 a year, requiring less than a two-year degree or less. In healthcare, we need another 600,000 registered nurses in the near term, average salary $60,000 to $75,000 a year. Some need bachelor's degrees, but most associate degrees. You can live a middle-class life with one of the wage earners making that basic salary. I could go on. Jobs in advanced manufacturing and energy. These are the kinds of good-paying middle-class jobs that millions of Americans can get through training at a community college. The point is that access to education after high school is critical for your generation, the generation of the students behind me. It's critical as a high school education was for our grandparents. It is simply that straightforward. And as Jill has said many times over the last 20 years, any country that out-educates us will out-compete us. Let me say it again. Any country that out-educates us will out-compete us. And there's no reason, none whatsoever, why we have to allow that to happen. Like I said, this is the best-kept secret in America, the most flexible mechanism is a community college. Nearly 40% of all undergraduates in the United States of America are in community colleges now. And in almost every state in the union, which wasn't the case 20, 25 years ago, there's a direct path, if the student chooses it, to take those credits which are directly transferable to UT or the University of Delaware or other state universities to a four-year degree, cutting essentially in half the cost. But we've got to keep it up. We've got to do more. And it's fully within our capacity to do that. President Kennedy said, and I quote, "Our progress as a nation can be no swifter than our progress in education. Our progress as a nation can be no swifter than our progress in education." I remember 4 years ago, as we used to say in the Senate, as my colleagues would tell you, excuse a point of personal privilege, Michelle, Barack, I don't say that publicly, the First Lady and the President, Jill and I were standing in the wings about to be introduced in the convention hall with, I don't remember, 60, 80,000 people. And we stood there looking at each other, kind of marveling that we were standing there. And I forget who said it, was Jill or Michelle, that not one of us would be standing there were it not for the help we got, the help we got. Beyond what our families could do, the help we got to get the educations we had. Not one of us would be standing there. Everyone should have that opportunity. Everyone. No guarantees. Everyone. And the man who I believe is more committed to making sure everyone has that opportunity, more committed than any man or woman I've worked with in my entire career, is the man I'd like to introduce to you now. My friend, the President of the United States, Barack Obama.